Good morning. You've tuned into the KRFY morning show. Right now it's, I tell you what it is. It's Thursday, September 24th, 2015. And a pretty nice September 24th it is. We are now on to the second day of autumn, officially. Currently, it's actually 36 degrees outside, and it in the sun it feels a little warmer than that, and we will actually have a high of 74 degrees today. So just like the rest of this week, it's been chilly at night, but certainly warming up during the day. I guess that's kind of what fall is all about. Today on the KRFY Morning Show, we've got, well, we don't have any live guests in the studio, but guess what we did have? We had them stop by just a little bit earlier in the week. It's the complete cast, almost the complete cast, and the director of the upcoming performance of Waiting for Godot, Waiting for Godot. I stand corrected. Waiting for Godot, which is coming to Sandpoint, not this coming weekend, but the weekend after that, and will run for 2 weekends at the Heartwood Center. I'll turn it over right now to myself and the cast of Waiting for Godot. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. I'm sitting in the studio with the cast and director of the upcoming Unknown Locals production of Waiting for Godot, which I was recently corrected. It's not Waiting for Godot. It's the proper pronunciation is Godot. And am I getting that right, director Dorothy Prophet?
Absolutely perfect.
Okay.
Don't have to correct you anymore.
Yeah. The cast is here, and we have... from left to right on your radio dial, we have Mike Clark, Michael Bigley, Dan Simons, and Robert Moore. And I'd just like to ask, starting with Mike Clark, how did you get started, or how did you get hooked up with this play? And maybe I should ask, how did you get started acting in general? Go ahead.
Well, it's rather interesting. I've always wanted to do acting and stuff, but I never really went for it. And so I moved up here to Sandpoint, and I'd been here for about a year. And a friend of mine, Seneca Cummings, who actually was in Macbeth with me, invited me to a play, which was Know Meet Your Mother, which is also an Unknown Locals production that happened last year. And it's my first time experiencing theater here in Sandpoint. And I absolutely loved it. And I talked with Chris Heron, who was out serving wine at the front, and he told me to talk to Michael if I was interested in trying to get into some plays. And so I auditioned for Michael over there at Macbeth, and surprisingly, I got a great part, which was the porter for Macbeth. I got to play a wonderfully hilarious drunk guy, and I absolutely just fell in love. And so I was looking forward to auditioning for more plays in the future. And it just so happened that on one awesome early spring day, I get a text message from Michael Bigley saying, I have a part for you if you're interested. Would you like to hear about it? And I'm like, of course. Tell me about it. So he sent me the title. It's like Waiting for Godot. And I, of course, thought it was Godot. And he's like, you're playing this gentleman called Lucky. He doesn't talk a lot, but he acts with his body. I think you'd be perfect for it. Are you interested? And I'm like, okay, let me look at it. And so I went inside and I looked at a screening of Lucky's speech on YouTube. And absolutely fell in love with the guy. He's this wonderfully eccentric and outlandish character with wonderful charisma, even though he really talks once for like 5 minutes. It was wonderful. I was super happy. And I messaged him back, and I'm like, I'm golden. Let's go. Let's do it. And that's how I got in.
So you're Lucky in the upcoming show. And I'm going to turn now to Dan Simons. What's your role, and how'd you get hooked up with this? How'd you get started acting, too?
I play a character named Estragon, or Gogo, as he's referred to most of the time. I got hooked up with this play because my girlfriend is directing it, I guess. I started acting almost 3 years ago. There was a, I saw an ad, I guess you could say, for The Odd Couple. And I got to play Felix Unger in that for my first performance. And I don't know, I've been hooked ever since.
Was that here in Sandpoint?
Yeah, it was over at the Event Center about 3 years ago.
No, huh, I missed it. So you are Estragon, and that's one of the characters?
It's one of the two main characters that the play kind of revolves around. I would say the difference between my character and the other character, Vladimir, is I'm much grumpier and a little bit more pessimistic out of the two.
Typecast.
Mm-hmm. Michael Bigley, what is your role in this show?
I'm his counterpart. My name is Vladimir. I go by Didi for most of the play. That's sort of our pet names for each other is Gogo and Didi. Vladimir and Estragon. It's this play in this unspecified setting at this unspecified time, and all you really know is that there's these two guys and they're stuck there waiting for no specific reason. The characters can kind of blend together if you're just reading the play, but I think that's Dan has the perfect distinction. You have the one who's completely given up on everything and the one who hasn't quite yet. And I'm the more optimistic in that I'm not quite inert yet, but I'm getting there.
Huh. Yeah. And what is your role in the production, Robert Moore?
I play Pazzo, and I have the privilege of partnering with Lucky throughout the whole play. Pazzo is quite the character. I'm very thankful for Dorothy and a couple of their cast members that when they read over the part, they thought of only one person, and that was me. So happened to be that I was talking to Dorothy on the phone about my own career outside of stage and some other things, and she said, well, hey, I got this idea for this play. Would you be interested? And once she told me the title, because not only do I act, I direct a number of plays, it was a title I was very familiar with, and to turn down the opportunity for me would have been foolish. So, and Dorothy and I have go way back since we were in The Diary of Anne Frank back in 1998, 99 together. Really? So we have done, she was actually in The Odd Couple, and that's how her and Dan met. So she has been a huge fan of mine and a huge supporter. So when she asked me, I jumped on it with a yes and have been privileged to work with an amazing group since. It's been a huge challenge, but we've been working on it for, I don't know what, 3 months. And it's taken a life of its own because it's definitely one of those productions that it's really hard to describe. It's been done all over. It's been done on Broadway and Europe, and it's been done in prisons and all over. And it's almost that every cast that takes it on develops a life of its own. And we've done that. And I guarantee the audience that comes and sees it, if you've seen it before, it will be different. I guarantee you. It will be different each night. It's different every rehearsal. That's just because of the play. And that's the beauty of theater and what we're creating here in Sandpoint.
It is kind of renowned as one of the greatest plays of the 20th century. What did make you decide to bring it here, Dorothy Prophet, director?
Well, honestly, theater and shows, this is what I consider my hobby. It's the thing that where somebody else might play golf or go do other things with their free time. Theater is what I do. It's a great expression, and I very much enjoy it. And I very much enjoy the people in this area who also participate. We're kind of a tight-knit little group. So I was looking for the next play. You're always looking for the next play. And I read another one. I read American Buffalo, wasn't impressed. I'm sure it's one of everybody's favorites, but I didn't particularly like it. So then I picked up Waiting for Godot. And like really 5 pages in, I was sold. I'm like, okay, we are doing this play because it just captures you. If you have an open mind and if you're interested in the possibilities that can come from a show like this, it's very captivating. And so contacted Chris and Maddie, asked them if they'd be interested in producing. Once they said yes, then we were kind of off to the races trying to fill the roles. And another part of doing theater is being able to hang out with the people you like. So, yeah, I don't feel bad about precasting because I get to hang out with the people I like. And it's worked out really well.
Is it? Yeah, it does seem like a pretty good group that you've developed here. A nice cast. What is the... I guess we don't want to spoil the play too much about talking about the plot.
That'd be tough. That'd be really tough. Yeah.
Impossible. You can't really spoil this play.
That's... Yeah, it is... Are you supposed to go into it not knowing what happens in the play?
I think you can come out of it not knowing what happened in the play, to be perfectly honest. The title kind of describes it, Waiting for Godot. And most people know that it's a show about people that are waiting for something. They don't know maybe the characters. They don't know maybe the setting. But I think that if they come and they're really interested in hearing what Samuel Beckett was trying to express, they're going to have something to talk about for the next 2 or 3 days after they leave, because there's no one answer. There's no one answer to this play, you know, where they are, what they're doing, why they're doing it. There's just so many variables. And we've had numerous discussions about all of those things, and they turn spirited, and it's great. So I think that audiences will find that as well.
Samuel Beckett, who wrote it, do you know what the story is behind his creation of the play? Do you know any of the background there?
Or Michael's an expert.
They're looking at me because my day job is I'm an English teacher, / professor. So, I've tried very hard and very consciously throughout these rehearsals to turn off professor hat and turn on actor hat and just be there finding the character. But yeah, I've taught this multiple times, multiple places. What was going on for Beckett? Well, it's written in the 40s, late 40s in Paris. So a Paris still ravaged from the World War. He had been there throughout. He was actually active in the French Resistance, which is really interesting since, you know, this whole play is about inaction and people not actually managing to do anything. But he himself, when it came time, was quite active. More than that, I wouldn't try to connect much of anything to anybody's personal life or any actual events. It's really, like I said before, it doesn't take place in any specific place. It would really sort of take away from its atmosphere if it did. It's, I wouldn't want to say anything more specific than it's sort of a portrait of the human condition in the abstract.
Had there been other plays like this? I mean, before Waiting for Godot came along, was there a history of these kind of plays without fixed location where not too much happens? Or was this...
It was pretty groundbreaking. And the story is that it was half the audience walked out on opening night in Paris. It was written in French, produced in Paris. Half the audience walked out at opening night, and there was a line around the block the next night. It's that kind of thing. Huh. When I've taught this to students, it's really wonderful. Every time it's about 50-50. Either they love it or they hate it. It's really that kind of thing. And so I'm curious to see how this plays to an audience. Mm-hmm. And and when we give this description, it sounds really, really bleak, and we're aware of that, right? But was one thing we should make clear, it's absolutely hilarious, or at least it better be if we've done our job, right? It's slapstick comedy, fart jokes. The humor is about as low as it can get, while the philosophy is, you know, going to make you weep at the same time.
The play is Waiting for Godot, and it is when and where?
Opening night is October 2nd, and it runs for 2 weekends, Friday and Saturday. Doors are at 6:30. Curtain is at 7. We would love to have people come at 6:30 so you can mill around a bit and talk with the people around you, because I guarantee you, after seeing the show, you're going to want to talk with them more.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be one of those kind of shows. And we like, you know, we like having people there so we can hear the excitement and hear the noise. It just makes for a better place.
Where is it?
Oh, at the Heartwood Center. I'm sorry.
No.
The Heartwood Center is located on Church. I don't know the exact numbers of it, but it's the old Catholic mm-hmm. church that's on Church.
I have seen a play there. I saw, I don't know if it was an unknown locals production, but what was it? Andrew Sorg, Ron Rigoni, and
Mary.
Yeah, Mary. Which was a pretty good one, I thought.
We have a really great active theater community in Sandpoint. And in back in the 90s, when Robert and I were first doing this, it was active then, and then it sort of died out for a while. But in the past, I'm going to say 5 years, things have really come back to life. And there's all kinds of productions for people to see. There's comedies and there's dramas and there's, you know, classics. And then, of course, we have the original works of Chris Herron that we hope someday will make it to Broadway.
Am I in the right group of people to ask sort of the story about Unknown Locals, or should I save that for an interview with
Chris? Yeah, Chris and Maddie, Herron. I'm sure that has a story that none of us are privy to. Yeah. I don't know.
How did is this the first play that with the Unknown Locals that you guys have done, or this is
it is for
Robert? Yes.
We're so insular. So
yeah,
three of us, Dorothy, Dan, and I, were all in one of Chris's plays.
Mm-hmm.
That was Your Mom,
mm-hmm.
and then Macbeth was an Unknown Locals production that I directed, and Mike was in that.
Mm-hmm.
So all of us have done Unknown Locals. Robert hasn't done Unknown Locals, but Dan and Dorothy both appeared in The Odd Couple, which Robert directed for. Was that a 7B? That was a 7B production.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a small town.
It is a small, yeah, not a lot of strangers, it doesn't sound like. There's some
Unknown
some
Locals
crossover.
Also did, we did another play with Unknown Locals called Sylvia.
Oh,
in fact, that was about a year ago. And at the time, and I'm glad that I just thought of that, because we partnered with the Panhandle Animal Shelter for that play. And we're doing that again with this one. We're hosting a food drive for Panhandle Animal Shelter at each performance. And with Sylvia, the tie-in was easy because Sylvia was a dog that was coming between a married couple. This particular one, my spin on it is that if Dee Dee and Gogo had a dog, they wouldn't mind waiting so much.
I'm probably the closest thing there is to an animal in this place. So
this
it kind of works, right?
But anyway, so we would love to, when people come out to the play, if they have the opportunity to stop at the store and get some cat food or dog food to donate to the Panhandle Animal Shelter, that would be greatly appreciated, because they're another local entity that we feel needs our support as well.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break from my interview with the cast and director of Waiting for Godot. And it is September 24th, 2015, which means today is the 24th anniversary. I guess that makes it the golden birthday, right? Of the release of Nevermind, the breakthrough album by Nirvana, the Aberdeen, Washington, Seattle based band. And I'm not going to play Smells Like Teen Spirit, which is maybe the best known song from the album, but I will play Come As You Are, which was, again, released 24 years ago today, on this date. Celebrating that. Happy birthday to Nevermind. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. The KRFY Morning Show is broadcast every Tuesday and Thursday, live at 8 a.m. Tune in to 88.5 or stream us live from our website at 8 o'clock to hear the complete and unedited program, including musical selections. Due to our licensing, we are unable to include full songs in our downloadable podcasts. We now return to the KRFY Morning Show. That was Nirvana, a song released 24 years ago on this date. And now let's return to conversation with the cast and director of Waiting for Godot. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. Well, let me ask some of the actors' studio questions here. Like, how do you... Do you think that your characters are close to yourselves? Should I start with Dan, who's pushing the microphone away from himself?
All right.
Dan, are you close to your character? Was that the obvious fit, or did you? It doesn't sound like there was an audition where you tried out for different characters. This was the
between me and Michael. There was a. I guess a read. We each read for both characters.
Mm-hmm.
In that initial reading, I felt that Vladimir would be easier for me to play. And to think back on it now, if the roles had been reversed, it would be a very different show. The way that Michael plays his character, Vladimir, and the way I would have played it are very different. I wouldn't say I'm close to the character, but I think it's written so that each person who plays it gets to interpret it in their own different way. I don't know. This is like Dorothy said, this is a hobby for me. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for me to answer questions like that.
Mike, are you close to Lucky? Do you think you kind of already answered the question that you thought it was a, I don't know. You said it was something that you were excited to do, but
Lucky is a very interesting character. When you all come to see whoever shows up, you'll understand what I mean right when I walk on stage. Very physical. But he has this wonderful monologue, which I think is in itself kind of a conglomeration of all the thoughts of people just crammed together into one giant, just crazy speech. And so when you try to find some sense in that line, it's impossible. It's almost like its own Rorschach painting. I mean, to any person that hears it or reads it, they could think something completely different than the first 5 people, the first 100 people before them. So Lucky and me actually kind of connect on that point because I feel that my mind works in a way that is a little bit more helter-skelter than most people. I can go through a conversation and jump to a different subject and almost throw people off because it's a little bit off the wall. So we connect that way. And so I've grown to feel me and Lucky are kindred spirits in some ways and in other ways not. But it's a very dynamic character. It was fantastic to play.
Go ahead, Robert.
Am I like Pazzo?
Yeah.
Wait, is everybody listening?
Can everybody hear me?
I think anybody who has known me or worked with me and will hear some of the dialogue I have will say, yeah, that role is perfectly cast. Yeah, there's a lot of things in Pazzo that has been eye-opening for, I think, any actor who plays such a strong part. It's a strong personality part. It comes at a time where it enables me to look at my profession, because I kind of have been doing this for a little while, and I'm very humble that people want to come and support theater. So it's eye-opening for me to be able to play such a part and feel like I'm watching myself. So, yeah, it's a fun part. It's fairly easy, although very complicated, because there's five of us. Four of us are on stage the whole time, with two people doing majority of the speaking and the other guys doing a fair amount of speaking. So there's a lot of dialogue in this. So that in itself is challenging on its own. And then to act these wonderful characters is such, it's a rich experience. And to play someone very similar to myself kind of makes it a little easier, but not so arrogant.
There's one more person who's not here, who is in the play. The fifth cast member is
Lucinda Bigley.
Aha. Mm-hmm. Who plays the role of
Boy.
That sounds right. And that is that a speaking role or is that?
Yes.
It is. Okay.
Actually, I don't want to give away too much. Boy is.
Right. You don't want to spoil this one.
This is true. Mm-hmm. Boy is a touchstone, I think, for Vladimir and Estragon. Boy is a character that helps them be a little more grounded than they are in their environment.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it's a speaking part, and there's more to it than that, but I don't want to give that away. So.
Okay. Michael, did I ask you how you connect to your character?
No, but I was okay with that. Oh. So I have an answer if you want it.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Well, this is where I out myself as less deep than I try to appear, because the sort of central Aegon of the play is existential despair. What are we doing here? I can't stand all this meaningless, right? And that's not me. I'm really a blithe spirit. I just kind of coast through life and I don't worry too much about things like that. That said, the other sort of central thing, the thing that gets them through all this existential despair, is the relationship between Gogo and Didi, the sort of friendship and relying on that friendship and needing it. And when Gogo leaves the stage, my only line is "Gogo!" Right? I can't function on my own. It's that panic. I understand that kind of relationship, that need for friendship. Not necessarily Dan, because he's Dan, but having that kind of friend that you rely on like that, that kind of relationship. Yeah, absolutely.
Hmm.
And he touched on something very important too, because each one of us have parents. He was talking about his relation to Dan, and then, you know, my partnership with Mike in the play. Not one character or actor could survive doing this play on their own. I mean, I think there has been times in every rehearsal one of us has left wanting to start a serious drinking problem or throw something through the window, because it has caused us to hit that wall. But you can't do it on your own. And that I've had great support from cast members saying, hey, let's get together early. You can't do it on your own. And each one of us has in our own characters somebody in the play that we cannot do it on our own, either through dialogue, through other props and relations. And I think that is important, too, is the human relationship to each other and what we need.
Yeah. You guys you kind of touched on this before, but you started this process about 3 months ago. Is that right?
We did all the casting in June. Well, actually, we started casting in April, but it kind of drug on because we were looking for just the right fit on all the characters. So when we finally, Mike was the last one that was on board. And when we had Mike, then everybody got scripts and we read through, but then we waited until
July,
right after the 4th of July, when we actually started rehearsing in earnest.
But you have been now rehearsing this for quite a while. This wasn't a spur of the moment.
Oh, no.
No, you didn't decide to do this last week.
There, no.
And just memorize your lines.
I don't think there's any of us that could do that.
Yeah. No.
No. Andrew Sorg can do that.
Oh, that's true.
No, he would just make up the play.
He would just make up his own lines, uh-huh. And then we'd get in trouble. But no, we've been rehearsing in earnest since July, right after the 4th of July. And so that's, what, 3 months? 3 months.
Yeah. What is that? What's the schedule like? I mean, how often do you guys meet? What is a production here in Sandpoint, what does that look like?
Because this is a small cast, mm-hmm. It's much more manageable. So we've met as a group twice a week, and then the cast members have met on their own time at other points during the week if there's a specific scene or certain pages that they want to really polish and go over. So as a group, two times a week, separate than that, as often as they wanted to or felt the need.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. How has that been? Is that pretty standard for plays here in Sandpoint? That
kind of? I don't know that there's a standard. Yeah. I think it kind of depends on the play. If you're doing a show that has a big cast, you've got to meet a lot more often because there's more moving parts. That's one of the things that draws me to certain plays is small cast, you know, next to no set. I want to keep things simple. I want to focus on the acting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this play has enabled us to do.
Well, one more question. Who should go see this play? What's your target audience there?
Everyone.
Everyone.
It's all humanity.
Yeah.
All humanity. Yes. Actually,
Michael. I'm sorry, I get confused.
Just turn your phones off.
Yes, turn your phones off when you come to a production.
You've let them loose.
Yeah.
I do think that this play holds something for everyone. I think that for people who are older, it will touch on some of the questions that they're probably asking themselves at this point in the autumn of their lives. For people who are younger, who are maybe interested in theater, it will be a good education on classics. Here's what a classic looks like. Here's how it's done. And an introduction into here's something you might want to think about the next time you're trying to put together a show. And other than that, I really do think there's something for everyone in this show. And I think that anyone who does come will walk away with a thought-provoking experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could express that one more way. You could say, if you've ever wondered about the meaning of life or you think farts are funny, this is your kind of show.
Exactly. True.
Well put.
Or both.
Do you think it is a pretty accessible play? I mean, if I don't go to a lot of theater here in sleepy little Sandpoint, do I need to know any kind of theater history or anything, Robert Moore, or is it pretty easy to follow if I'm sort of a newbie?
Well, I think for a couple of reasons, you should come just to support theater in the town, because, you know, without actors and without people interested in plays, and I mean, we would probably, because actors are crazy, we'd probably go and perform to nobody. But it's very important that people come out and support a wide variety of theater, as Dorothy has mentioned. I think this will definitely have something for everybody. I think if you're new to theater, you definitely want to come see this, because this is a top-notch performance with great actors and a wonderful director and a great supportive production company. So if it's your first play, come see it and see the caliber of talent that you have in the Sandpoint area, because it's very easy to drive south and go see theater and spend time down there. But you have it right here in Sandpoint, and it has certainly come back over the, like Dorothea said, the last 5 or 6 years. There's great original productions and some well-known productions coming up next year, and there's other productions going in Sandpoint. So just come out and support it. See what we got.
There is a question right there, actually. Are you guys looking towards the future? Do you have
absolutely.
What's next?
I don't want to say, but I just last night ordered 5 scripts for the next play.
Oh my.
That I'm hoping will be next year. And I think another thing that I want to touch on really quick is that Mike Clark mentioned that he came to see a play and then he chose to get involved. And I think that if there's anyone out there who's ever had the inkling that they might want to do theater, they should come to the play, and that this might spur that on, and then we'll have another member of this wonderful group.
Robert?
And I think there's going to be little hints on the back of the program for this play, because it's always important when there's a production going to let people know what's coming. So if you really want to know what's coming, you know, look on Facebook, support the Unknown Locals. There's other theater groups. Come see the play, read the program, and then, you know, see how you can audition and be a part of it.
Mike Clark, what were you going to say?
You know, she said that I went and saw a play and then I auditioned and got into it. I'll tell everyone out there, if you're interested in getting to this, now is the time. You have wonderful people to work with. You have open-minded people, people who are willing to work with you. Dorothy has been absolutely an angel with scheduling and working with us on rehearsals. If you want to get started, this is a great place to start. I mean, and there are people that are in Sandpoint that not only act in Sandpoint, they act abroad. They go around the country. They've acted in other things. I mean, Andrew's over in Boston now. I mean, I'm sure he's looking into stuff like that. And it's a great way to get your foot in the door and get into this experience. And if you're like me and you've always wanted to do it, just never found the opportunity, it's right here. Take it.
You go right ahead, Dan. Jump in.
Well, you asked about what's coming up, and I was just going to say I don't know the dates and I don't know when it's happening, but I'm in another Chris Herron original production, I believe, early next year. So that's my personal next thing.
Do you know what it's called or anything?
I don't know if there's actually a title for it yet. It's been codenamed The Wedding, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
I might be getting in trouble for saying this, but...
Okay. We'll
lock the door.
Yeah. I'm sure you're fine. Did you have one more to throw in there?
Yeah, Mike needs to plug one.
Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't want to say this. I didn't want to step on anyone's toes. And, you know, this is a Waiting for Godot scene. This is telling all about Godot. But, you know, I also was lucky enough to get a part in the upcoming Rocky Horror that I'll be performing this Halloween weekend. And if any of you are interested in that, make sure to look into it because it's going to be an absolute blast.
He sings.
What part is it, Mike? It'll be my first time singing. I'll be playing Brad Majors, so you're going to see a very rounded performance from me. Nice. So I hope you all enjoy it, and I hope to see you all at Waiting for Gaga the 2nd, 3rd, and the 9th and 10th.
Cool. Is this the first time that they've done the play here in Sandpoint? I know they've shown the movie before. Do you know that this is the Rocky Horror?
I think it's been a long, long time since they've done the Rocky Horror. I mean, it's traditionally a midnight showing, and I think the Panada, I think, showed it a long time ago. But yeah, it's going to be a great production as well for the Halloween.
Cool.
And both these plays feature somebody ending up in their underwear. It's just under very different circumstances.
You'll have to come to our show to see who's in the underwear at the end.
Indeed. Well, we could talk about theater for a lot longer, but we don't have to. We're kind of focused on Waiting for Godot, which is coming up. It's coming up on, tell me again,
October,
when and where?
October 2nd and 3rd, 9th and 10th, Heartwood Center, on Church Street. Doors are at 6:30, curtain at 7:00. Oh, and tickets are available at Eve's Leaves and at the door.
Okay. Well, there we go. Did we hit it all? Did we get everything? Any final notes? Final thoughts? No.
I think we're good.
Yeah.
We are good.
Yeah. You guys are good. Thanks for coming in. And we now return to the regularly scheduled KRFY morning show.
Adieu.
Yeah. Adieu.
I think that's fun. Bad.
The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing krfy.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource.
Right. That was Jacob Cummings. The song was Never Get Enough, and he's playing at the Pondere Winery this Friday, and then he's playing at Eichardt's this Saturday on tour, and that brings him into Sandpoint. I got the old events calendar right here in front of me. You are listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY, and let's try and bring you up to speed here. Coming up tonight, it is the 24th after all. It's Yappy Hour over at Eichardt's Pub. There's also a one-woman show at the Panada tonight. Soldiers in Petticoats, The Struggles of the Suffragettes. It's at the Little Theater, but it is right next to the Panada on First Avenue. Thames Allen presents. It's an educational and entertaining presentation. Thames Allen travels all over the Northwest to present historical Victorian acts and is known for her in-depth research and lively presentation style. Seating is first come, first serve. Tickets at the door. Call 265-8733 for more information. The presentation is suitable for fourth graders and older, so don't hesitate to bring children, grandchildren, and friends. Also going on tonight at the Panada in the Main Theater, Infinitely Polar Bear, the film, starts tonight, runs this weekend, tonight and also Friday, and Sunday, actually, but not on Saturday. You can go to panada.org for more information about that. Also coming up today, there is a Kalispell tour of Lake Pendere. Kalispell tribal member Anna Armstrong will be the guide on Lake Pendere aboard the Shaunadees, hosted by Linda Mitchell and Lake Pendere Cruises. It's a fundraising event for the Idaho Myth Weaver. Armstrong will share important stories and traditional tribal knowledge of the Clark Fork Delta, an important traditional gathering site, and also the genesis site for the Kalispell people, according to their creation mythology. She'll also talk about the Hope Islands and how the Kalispell sturgeon-nose canoes once plied the waters in this area. The boat boards at Kramer Marina in Hope at 12:45 p.m., departing at 1 p.m. and should return by 3 p.m. Pre-registration is required. Contact Jane at 265-8323 or go to mythweaver.org. Coming up on Friday, I did already mention Winery Music with Jacob Cummings, guitarist, singer, songwriter out of Everett, Washington. At the Poor Authority, Marty Perrin and Doug Bond will be playing from 5 to 7 p.m. You can also check out, you can give them a call at the Poor Authority if you want to know a little bit more. 597-7096. Now let's take a short break and listen to the number one song on the charts on this date in 1988.
Smile on your face. Don't bring everybody down like this. Don't worry. It will soon pass, whatever it is. Don't worry, be happy. I'm not worried. I'm happy.
You are listening to 88.5 KRFY, and thank you, for tuning in to the morning show today. And thanks to our guests on the morning show, the cast and directors of Waiting for Godot. Waiting for Godot. There I go again. I do have a few more events on the calendar here. Might as well run through them briskly. Coming up this weekend, well, the Sandpoint Farmers Market is ongoing. Continues this weekend from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Farm and Park. There is the usual used book sale out at the Bonner Mall. There's no cost to display your used books, and tables are provided. Call 263-4272 for more information about that. Coming up on Saturday as well, 100,000 Poets for Change. Lost Horse Press and the Bonner County Human Rights Task Force present 100,000 Poets for Change, a poetry and music open mic for local writers, musicians, artists, and students to express their ideas for positive change in our community and in the world, held from 1 p.m. until 4 p.m. at Evans Brothers Coffee. Poets, artists, and musicians around the world are planning individual events to take place simultaneously on September 26th in conjunction with 100,000 Poets for Change to promote social, environmental, and political change. Join Sandpoint poets and musicians as they connect with artists all over the globe to express their aspirations for a better world.
To be considered for a spot as a featured reader or musician, contact Lost Horse Press at 255-4410 or email losthorsepress@mindspring.com. Also coming up on Saturday, there's music at the Poor Authority with Truck Mills from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's Hoptoberfest at McDuff's Beer Hall. Live music, specialty brews like the Wet Hop IPA, Oak-Aged Mashing Pumpkin and Marzen, Imperial Vanilla Bourbon Stout, and more. McDuff's.com is your source for information on that. 209-6700. National Ballroom Dance Week celebration at the Sandpoint Community Hall. From 7 p.m. until 10 p.m., learn the foxtrot, the rumba, and swing dance taught by experienced local instructors. There will also be general dancing, refreshments, mixers, door prizes, and a drawing for 1 month of free dance lessons. Singles, couples, teens, and all levels of dancers are welcome. USA Dance events are alcohol and tobacco free. USADanceSandpoint.org or call 699-0421 for more about that. Ongoing this weekend, actually, it's starting tonight and running through Sunday, September 27th. The Draft Horse Show is going on out at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. That sounds like a treat. It does start tonight. View the gentle giants and their skilled handlers during the Idaho Draft Horse and Mule International Show. Performances by these stunning horses include team competitions, wagon pulls, and much more. You'll be amazed. The draft horses are awe-inspiring sight for the entire family, and there will be grand entry performances happening throughout the weekend. IdahoDraftHorseShow.com is your source for information on that. Also, on Saturday, September 26th, it's time again for Dancing with Our Stars. The coveted Mirror Ball Trophy is up for grabs as Pondere Arts Council brings back the Utah Ballroom Dance Company for their annual event, Dancing with Our Stars. 7 p.m. Saturday, September 26th in the Panetta Theater, 300 North 1st Avenue. A bunch of local contestants, local celebrities, will be participating in a dance contest. In addition, professional dancers will take the stage for a performance that has a bit of something for everyone. VIP tickets are available, as well as the general admission, available at the POAC Gallery, 302 North 1st Avenue, Eve's Leaves, Eichart's Pub, Winter Ridge, and the Panetta Box Office. 263-6139 is who you got to call for that. Coming up tonight, one more thing. Coming up tonight is a show at the Reader Offices starring Josh Hedlund. Live at the Reader is the name of the show. and the artist is Josh Hedlund. I actually did cue up a Josh Hedlund song to play just now. But I think it's going to have to wait till after 9 o'clock because the time has come. The show is over. Thanks for listening to the morning show today. Stay tuned for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long. Starting off that Eclectic Mix with a performance by Josh Hedlund from his last Live at the Reader concert. Have a lovely September 24th and a happy birthday to my little brother, Will. Buenos dias.